Psalm 119, we're going to finish that today. We left off last week in the 174th verse. We're right near the end. This entire psalm, written by David, at a time of persecution, and it concerns it's a prayer unto the Lord. It's his dialogue or his conversation with the Lord, his end of it. His trust and confidence in the Word of God. Every verse has something to say about God's Word and how it helps him. Let's, as we've done in the past, let's take these last three verses and someone just read the verse, if you will, please, and tell us what it means. 174. Someone like to take that one, please.
I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. That's my continual prayer before God. I believe it's first and foremost in my life. If I'm going to do anything with God, I have to hunger and thirst continually after the Word of God. I don't see anyone growing to any substantial amount or doing anything with God or going on with God without they have that continual hunger for God. So I pray it over myself. I don't wait for somebody to pray it over. I continue to say, God, I don't want to stay thirsty and hungry after your word. And I believe that if you stay hungry enough, he said, I long. And so my longing is for that salvation, not only to know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven, but to know that my family is taken care of, to know that I know that I know my health in my family is taken care of, salvation of my health, and salvation of my protection. So what is there for me to worry about? Nothing. I'm thanking God for all that salvation of the different things, the salvation of lost people I'm going to reach. And thy law is, and isn't going to be, it is my delight. And so if you're continually breaking God's law, it wouldn't be your delight. That is, it would not be a delight for you to read it because you'd be in violation all the time you read it. You'd be under conviction. What if you're trying to obey it, and those that you're reading, you're trying, and you know you're trying to obey it, then it's delight. But if you're purposely violating these laws, you don't delight in it. You just want them to be covered up and leave them alone because they convict you as you read them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying, and I think that's the key point, I'm saying to you, love your neighbor as yourself, it's all hard to live every day. And love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, hard to live by on an everyday basis. And to even live the Christian life, every moment of your life in your own home. It's a real task to put your flesh, that is, bear the cross of Jesus every day and put the flesh down and put the spirit up. It's a fight. I ain't saying it's easy. But I believe if you purpose in your heart, this will become reality.
You notice the connection here between the longing for all of the benefits of God's salvation and the delighting in the law. You know, there are people who want the benefits of God but don't have any delight in His Word. And without taking pleasure or delight in the Word of God, there will not be any of the benefits of the salvation, as our brother has shared here. And not just the born-again experience with a ticket to heaven, but all of the rest of the benefits of God's salvation, His deliverance. In this particular case, David's in trouble. He's under persecution and he's in reproach. And he says, I'm longing for your salvation, Lord, and I'm delighting in your law, because in your word I know I'm going to get that deliverance. And there's a very close connection there, and they cannot be broken apart. All right, let's take the 175th then. Someone take that verse and stand to read it and tell us what you think it means, or what it means to you. Okay, Chris?
Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. And it just goes along with that verse before. He's just saying as long as he's got breath in his body, that he's going to praise the Lord. Because that's where his delight is, and that's where his salvation is. And as long as he draws breath, he's going to praise him. And then he says, you know, just let that word that you have, let your judgments help you. In other words, that's going to keep him alive.
Right. The life is going to come from the word, and as long as I have life, I'm going to praise you. Okay? Let's see the 176th then, Ron.
Last week you told us to pick a verse that really meant a lot to us. And this one right here really means a lot to me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And I was one of those lost sheep, like I know many of me have sent here work, and I was out there, and I was wanting the Lord to come and find me, you know, and lead me back. But I couldn't find a way back. I tried on my own, and I couldn't find my way back. But praise God, he was willing to leave the 99 and come out with me.
Uh-huh.
And that verse is really blessed me on channel that.
Amen. Amen. Seek me out, because I don't forget your word. I keep it in my remembrance. I want to be a doer of the word of God. My heart is set upon doing the word. And so I may have gone astray, but it doesn't mean, and I may be lost, but I haven't done it willingly. I want you to see a difference here. And I, as pastor, I see a lot of this. Some of you perhaps do also in your personal counseling and your personal ministry. There are two kinds of people who slip away from the body, who slip away from fellowship, and who slip away from their relationship with the Lord. There are those who lose their way, never meant to, and are unhappy and want to come back. And there are those who turned and ran away. You understand the difference? And when you're dealing with those two kinds of people, when you're dealing with folks who are broken away from the body or who have left the fellowship, when I talk about the fellowship, I'm talking about not necessarily this particular local body, but the fellowship of believers, those who have left the Lord, those who have gone away. There are those who have been drawn away and who have lost their way, and while they're away, they're crying out, "Oh Lord, help me." Now that's one kind of person, and that's the kind of person that we need to be seeking after and trying to help and minister to. But there are those people who have left and who are going like this. You ever have a child do that to you? That's called thumbing your nose. And that's almost as bad as spitting on. See? Being spit on. And folks who have done that, you see, you have to deal with in a little different way. It's a different kind of circumstance. Those are not lost sheep. Those are mavericks. Those are rebels. You must deal with them in a completely different way. David said here, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." His prayer is, "Lord, I've lost my way." As Ron said, "I can't find my way back. Help me." And his attitude, you see, the attitude of his heart is soft. It's broken, and he's contrite within. And he says, "I do not forget thy commandments. I'm lost, but my heart is tuned towards you. And I want to return. Help me and show me how to do it." Now, that's the condition of this man. Anybody want to comment on that? Okay?
I'm just sitting here about to cry as you're talking, because Satan dealt with me just like this. I am a miracle, really, that I am in the kingdom of God today, because at the time that I was going to church and doing all these things, Satan was saying to me, "You're going to go to heaven and go live the way you want to. Tell them to forget church. Tell them you don't want to teach Sunday school anymore. To forget that garbage. But you'll go into heaven anyway." And if the Lord, in his mercy, had not dealt with me, no human being could have done it. It had to be the Spirit of God telling me I was treading on dangerous ground.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been out there lost eternally. I mean, like the Word says, there is a sin that you cannot get repentance of, like hardening your heart and turning your back completely on God, where he quits dealing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's where I would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I praise God.
Amen.
It's for his mercy.
See, I see it as a pastor, and I see in one circumstance, you've got this kind of a person. You've got a believer who perhaps has just come to Christ, and he's a brand new babe in the Lord. He's a little lamb, and he's been born again. He's had his sins forgiven. He's been filled with the Holy Ghost, and something happens to him. Maybe he slips and falls and sins, maybe slips back into sin. And the devil comes immediately and lays a trip of condemnation on him. Or you've got somebody who's a fairly young believer in the Lord, maybe he's a little lamb, and he's in the church, and someone in the church says something that he misunderstands. And he picks up on it wrong, and it hurts him. Now that's a law, and then you don't see him for a while. That's a lost sheep. The Bible says that Jesus will leave the 99 and he will go seek out the one that is lost. Now you have the other kind, who is somebody who generally, these are not little lambs. These are people who've been around a while and they don't get their way, or they, nobody loves me. They want to be petted all the time. They want to be stroked all the time. They want somebody to hold their hands all the time. They don't want to grow up. Or they actually get into rebellion and into strife, and things don't go the way they think they ought to go. Or somebody says something that they take the wrong way, and they turn their nose in the air, you know, and go off. The Word of God does not, that's not the one that Jesus leaves the 99 and goes to seek. That's the one that he gets the rod out on. And you'll see in the Scripture both of those kinds of dealings. There's one in the Psalms, I forget what psalm it is, I think maybe it's 89th, but I'm not really sure, where it said, where God spoke to David and said if any of his children left the Lord, that the Lord would take the rod out and use that to chastise him, but yet he would not remove his loving kindness forever, but that he would discipline him. And so it takes very much wisdom for the church to know who is where and how to deal with these folks. And sometimes you can't discern that in the natural. You really have to have the witness of the Spirit as to what's really going on in that person's heart and as to how to deal with them. Because to pussyfoot around with one person is not going to do any good at all. To get the stick out on another is not going to help any, you see. So you need the right kind of solution for the right kind of problem. And the only one that can really show you that is the Spirit of God, because he knows what's going on in that person's heart. And oftentimes it's easy for us, and we have a tendency, I think, sometimes to make a judgment on how a particular situation ought to be dealt with, when perhaps we don't know what the circumstances are. And perhaps the Lord's dealing in that circumstance in a little different way than we normally would. We really have to have a confidence in the Spirit of God to know that he's working in the right way with that person. I have dealt with the stubborn in heart. And they're not easy to deal with. You must deal with them in love, but sometimes love is tough there, and you really have to jerk somebody up by the scruff of the neck and let them know what the situation is. It's not easy to do that. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody wants to be liked, and particularly somebody who's in a pastoral or elder's role or any kind of leadership role. Everybody wants to be liked. But I would rather have you make heaven than have you like me. I mean, if the choice was to be made. Because once we get there, you know, then, gee, we can just love each other forever. But if you don't make it, then there isn't going to be any love lost on me. So, yeah, I think I saw a hand here. Regina.
Well, Matthew, I'm saved for an early age. But I was raised in a Baptist church, and then when I was 20, I was going through a divorce. And like I said, they turned their back on me. And I turned my back on God. And I just prayed God for y'all. When I finally came back, if it was for y'all, I wouldn't be in church again today, because I couldn't find the love I wanted until I came here.
Yeah.
And I prayed God for y'all for that.
Yeah. Well, we thank God for the Holy Spirit, because that's who's flowing here. That's who's flowing here. And I've seen folks like Regina, where the love of God just reaching out, that tenderness, and that's what people are looking for and needing. But there are, and you know in your own children, that there are times when they need your tenderness. There are also times when they need their drawers pulled down and they need a rod laid across their bare skin. And it's the same way in spiritual things, in our relationship to the Spirit of God. Always, however, in love. I mean, always has to be ministered in love. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else want to comment on that? All right. Now, I asked you last week, we don't have a whole lot of time remaining this morning, but I'm going to take it anyway. I asked you last week to read through the 119th Psalm, and I'm sure that everybody did. And so today I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to be able to use the 119th Psalm as a tool. And so, I'm going to disconnect myself a moment here.
Take the next 10 minutes and just go down through these and write out to the left-hand margin. Write out to the left-hand margin the verse that pertains to that question or statement. If someone wanted to know about these things, where would you take them in the 119th Psalm?
run down through them quickly, get the ones you know, and then go back and pick up the ones that you have to dig for. Finished. Let me see your hands if you finished. Praise the Lord. Excellent. All right. Who has the answer to the first one? How shall a young man cleanse his way? What verse? Anybody have? Nine. Verse number nine. Did you all have that? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Being a doer of the word. Listening to the word and then doing it. All right. The next one is, what must one do with the word in order not to sin against God? What's the answer to that one? Verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It doesn't do any good to lay the word on the coffee table or on the nightstand. You have to hide it in your heart. You got to take it in order to get that benefit. All right, the next one is, who must open our eyes so that we can behold the wonderful truths of God's word? There's a difference in just reading the word and really beholding the truth, comprehending what it says. Who opens our eyes? Verse number 18. How many of you got that one? Praise God. Look at that. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold. The Lord's got to open the eyes. Whose eyes will God open? Anybody who wants their eyes open. Hey? Anybody. All right. The next one is, how can a man have the right answer for those who reproach and persecute him? Let me see your hand. Somebody has that one. Bruce? 42. That's the right verse. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Trusting in the word of God gives you the right answer. You see, a soft answer turneth away wrath, the book of Proverbs says. And in order to have that right answer, you've got to have the word in your heart. It's trusting in the word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, rather than when a man reproaches you, the natural man will come back, well, I'll show you. Or, well, you'll get yours. Well, may the bird of paradise put a nest in your nose. See? Isn't that the way the world would answer those things? Hey? But now, a man who trusts in the word is going to have the right answer for someone who reproaches him. All right, the next one is, for a person to walk in liberty requires what? What verse is that? Verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. A seeking of the word of God and the precepts that are there causes us to have freedom. All right, the next one is, comfort in affliction comes from. What verse is that? Verse 50. All right? Comfort in time of affliction comes from the word of God. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me or made me alive. What kind of people were David's closest friends? Verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. My best friends are those that love God and respect the word and keep the word of God. That's good counsel for Christians. The next one, how much of God's word is faithful? Verse number 86 tells us that all of thy commandments are faithful. 100% of it is faithful. How long will God's word be settled or sure? Verse 89, the answer to that is forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. It'll be sure forever. A person gains understanding by. Okay, I have 104. That's the one I had. Someone had a 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. That's a good one too, sure. And 104, through thy precepts. That's more specific. Through thy precepts I get understanding. From the word of God I get understanding. That's the one I was really looking for there. All right? Pardon? 100? Yes. Yes, 100 also. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Yes, that's a good one also. Lots of good ones there. And some of these others may have more than one verse too that will fit it. All right, the next one is, God's word is like a light and a lamp. Where's that one? Everybody got that one, didn't you? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David considered all God's word concerning everything to be right. What verse is that? 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I like that one. And the next one, God's word is pure and without corruption. 140. Thy word is very pure. There's no corruption. There's no pollution in it. There's nothing wrong in it, in other words. How much of God's word is the truth? 151. All thy commandments are truth. 100% of God's word is truth. There's no lie in it, no error in it. How long has it been true? Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous and judgments endureth forever. The last one is, we can be protected against stumbling and falling if we, what verse is that? 165, if we love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, cause them to stumble or fall. 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. You mean for that last one? No, it doesn't speak that to me. Mm-mm. As far as stumbling, good verse, but not as far as stumbling and falling. Okay, well, I hope that you learned something going through it. Every time I read through this psalm, I learn some more. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed.